We're going to preface this with this one thing. Whenever I get up here and I preach a message, I go through fits on Mondays. And I don't know why it is, but anyway, I go through fits. And it's always just a bad day. But when I get up here and when I preach something that I don't have written down, I really have a bad day, okay? So whether good or bad, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit has called me to preach you something again today that I don't have written down. And I just want you to listen, okay? Just listen and shout. I don't care. But when the Holy Spirit does this, I have to believe there's somebody, and in this case, I think some people that need to hear this. Let me ask you something. What is one of the questions that, or one of the statements, excuse me, that people make about the church all the time? They only want my
money.
Yeah, isn't that funny how you got that right away? You know, they only want my money. Yeah, Paul talks about that. Paul says, you know, I don't care about your money. I just want the grace that abounds to you because of you giving your money. I want you to walk in that blessing. But then it still is a hard, difficult thing for people to do, to give of their money. I remember I saw a cartoon one time. A guy was getting baptized, and he was under the water, and the only thing he was holding out of the water was his wallet. You know, but it's way too true. It really is. It's really, really true. Anyway, I want you to understand something that, and I'm going to read to you out of Malachi, the normal place where we talk about tithing, but I want you to hear something else that Paul says, okay, in Corinthians. He says this, and this is one of those scriptures that we don't quote very often, right? We don't like to read very often, and that's in 2 Corinthians 9:6. He says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He's talking about an offering that's being taken for him to go about the work of the ministry. So, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give, say give.
Give.
Say give again.
Give.
Okay. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. And I agree with that. And I don't think anything feels better than to give to missions or to give to maybe meet the need in our church, and we know that some kids are getting coats or lunches or whatever they need. But you have to realize something here. And I'm not splitting hairs at all, okay? It says God loves a cheerful what? Does it say God loves a cheerful tither? No, it doesn't. And there's a reason for that. Giving is optional, right? Giving is optional. You know, and like I said, I love it when I can give, you know, when I can give something towards a purpose or whatever it is. But God never talks about the tithe being an option. But we in the church and in the modern church have really made that an option. You know, and we say things like, well, I just can't do it because I can't do it happily. That doesn't have anything to do with it, okay? It doesn't. You're giving to missions, you're giving to different projects. Those are all good. That's great, and God loves it when you do that. It shows you how much ownership he has in your life, amen? But tithing is something different. Tithing in its day in the Old Testament, and by the way, don't tell me that's Old Testament, Wes, because then I'd say to you, well, then New Testament is you give it all, right? Okay, I do like that, but it's not that. The Old Testament, when they tithed, okay, it was for the priests. It really was. It was so the priests could go about their priestly duties. It was so they could have enough, you know, enough money to get by, to live, because they couldn't do anything else but the priestly duty. And so when God talks about bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that the storehouse was considered the place where people could bring their grain, okay, or their different offerings like that. Are you with me? Okay. I'll see if you'll be with me in a little bit, okay? Why don't you turn to Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. All right, Malachi 3:8. And this is hard stuff, okay? This is just flat out hard stuff. And if I've ever kicked myself on Monday morning, I'll kick myself tomorrow, that's for sure. Because you know what? I'm just going to tell you this. Most people that come to church, now the modern day church, they don't come unless they can feel good when they leave. Come on. Amen? They don't come unless they can get a message where they can feel good and they can go, God is so blessed that he has me. Well, he is, sort of. The Bible says this. Will a man rob God? And what would your answer be? No. No, definitely not. But he goes on to say, yet you are robbing me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And then it says it. These few words. In tithes and offerings you have withheld. How have they robbed God? In what? Tithes and offerings that you have withheld. Then the scary part comes. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. This whole nation is robbing me. I don't imagine there's anybody, myself included, that would want to rob God and would really even consider giving of 10% of my money as robbing God. It kind of doesn't really compute. But the Bible says it, so I believe it. Amen? Come on, let me have some amens. Okay? Amen. And what goes even further is you're cursed with a curse. I mean, that's scary stuff. That's scary stuff. And so that's why Paul would say, I want the blessing that would abound to you. I'm not looking for your money. I'm just looking for you to do right. Amen? And he believes that, and so he spoke that. But will a man rob God? Gosh, nobody that would be sitting in a church would ever consider robbing God. But he says you have. You've done it, and you've done it by holding back your tithe. When we first got saved, she got saved before me, gave all her money away. You know where it says give unto six to seven and further, you know? Yeah, we gave it all away. Honey, can we go do this? No. Why?
Gave it away.
Oh, okay. I wasn't saved yet. Didn't go well with me at all. But I've since then learned that the tithe sits here and my giving sits here. Do I have to give? Probably not as far as have to's go, but you'll want to. You'll want to because you realize how much God has given to you. So many ways and many times, the only way that we ever can participate in missions is by giving money to it. Because I'm not going to Indonesia, all right? I'm not going to Turkey and Pakistan. So we support them with money, and that's our offerings. But thinking of being cursed with a curse, I've got enough problems, amen, without being cursed with a curse. Then he gives us instruction. And you're probably going to get out early today, so you're not going to hate this as much as you think you're going to, okay? He says, bring all the tithe, the tenth. By the way, I had one young man, and I've told you this before, he came into my office and we were talking and he says, after all, I tithe, I give my $10. And I said, you give your $10? He goes, yeah, the tithe, that's 10%. I said, no, time out. How well do you think the church would do if every person in the church gave $10? Do you think we'd pay the electric bill next month? Do you think we'd pay the gas bill, let alone possibly shell out some money for the preacher, right? But people have these misconceptions, and they live by these misconceptions. Well, I want to clear up that misconception. Okay, the only way that $10 is your tithe is if you make $100 a week, okay? Then 10% of that is $10. The thing, and I want to say this before I go too much farther, the thing that amazes me about tithing, and it's supernatural, amen? It's supernatural. You give, and guess what? You get in return. You can't have that idea in your heart, but it happens. God blesses you. Whether he blesses you in keeping your car from breaking down or whether he blesses you in giving you a good deal on the next car that you buy. Are you with me? There's many ways that God can bless you. Maybe he blesses you in your, in your relationships. But I do think, and I do stand on this, that, you know, if you sow an apple seed, you get apples, right? If you sow a cucumber seed, you get cucumbers. If you sow money, you get money, all right? All right, I see a couple people agree. The rest of you are going, he said he wasn't going to take too long. All right. Now, listen to this from my point of view. Bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse. And like I said at the beginning, they had storehouses, in the temple where they could store the grain and things and the whatever they would need for sacrifices. Okay. So that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. How do I read that? How do I do the exegesis on that, okay? How do I pull that apart? If there isn't enough money that comes into this place, if we get some small offering, right, Gary? And we do at times, If we get a small offering, then my concern becomes how are we going to pay the bills? My concern becomes how are we going to pay Josh, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? So if you want food in the house, if you want stuff that you can really bite into, if you want me to be in the position where I can really seek the Lord, amen, and I can really, really give my time to that instead of worrying, and I know you're not supposed to worry, but I'm sorry. When there's not enough money to go around, I worry. Are you following me? So if you want food in the house, if you want good sermons, if you want, something that's going to be more than just, Jesus loved me is deep, all right? But if you want more than that, then there's got to be that I don't have to worry about, that the pastor doesn't have to worry about, that he doesn't have to think about all the time, especially when you open a utility bill nowadays. My goodness, you guys think, well, we're only here one day a week. Well, then I don't know how it gets so high, but it's up there. All right, bring all your tithes, your tenth, into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. So like I'm saying, the way I interpret it, okay, if you want to hear it, good sermons, okay. But then he says something. He says, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Test me. Where else does it say to test me? I thought Jesus said, don't test God, But he says, but this you can test me on. Well, how can you test him on it? By doing it, by giving it, okay? By giving it, and don't expect just because you tithe the very first time, maybe the storehouses of heaven will open up and fall out on you. But it's talking about a tither, not someone who tithes once in a while. Do you understand what I'm saying there? You can't tithe three times and go, oh, it don't work. You have to become a tither, someone who tithes. And maybe the first time you tithe, God will pour out a blessing, that you won't have room enough to receive. I'm not the guy that pours out the blessing. But the truth is, you have to become an ite, okay? You have to become a tither, someone who does it no matter what, so that Even if there's a really good concert to go listen to that week, and even if you want to buy the tickets to go to that concert, you know what? The tie should come off the top. Hello? It comes off the top. And it amounts to this. Where is your heart? You know, where is your heart at? Where is it really at? You know, what is really important to you? Is enjoying yourself? And God has given us this world to enjoy. There's no doubt about that. Because I know, you know how I know? He made Jeeps. Okay? All right, he made airplanes. All right? Okay. And he made motorcycles too. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this whole world is here for us to enjoy. There's no doubt about it. But where is your heart? Is your heart in that motorcycle, in that airplane? Is it in that Jeep? You know, or is it in Jesus? And is the most important thing in your life to be obedient? I mean, is that really, really, really what you want to do? Well, I can't tithe, Wes. I can barely make it now. You know what? When we first started tithing, we couldn't make it either, but we did. Well, how did you make it, Wes? I don't know. That's what the supernatural part of tithing is. You know, God blesses what you give. And I just, it's amazing. And that's one of those things that I think I'm going to ask God about. How did you do that? How did you make that $100 go as far as it did? How did you do that? You know? But it's a great blessing when he does. Because he does go on to say this. That there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Man, I want that to happen. Amen. And there has been times. There's no doubt about it. There has been times. And, you know, God's always on time, never early. You've heard that before. But there's been times when he pours it out when you need it the most. Amen? Amen. If I want to open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing. Now wait. I can think a lot. I can think pretty big, all right? But he says this, until there is no more room to receive it. He just ain't going to sprinkle some stuff on it. He's going to give you a blessing that's so huge. Okay, so huge. God's good. All the time he's good. Yes, he is. But there's some more things here that are just, you know, part of tithing, part of doing that you will receive because of that. You know, we've been talking about some of the enemy's greatest weapons. Well, that's what I've been trying to talk about. This is the third week in a row I think I've been interrupted by that Holy Spirit guy. And we go through battles, and we talked about that last week. We battle, everybody, you know, with relationships, with our finances, all kinds of things. We battle. We go through battle. God has supplied us with what we need for that battle. There's no doubt about that. But this is even better, okay? He says this. Then what? When you tithe. Are you with me? Then, when you tithe. Somebody didn't hear it. Then, when you tithe. Okay. He says this. I will, not I might. Not it could happen. Hey, if you're lucky, buddy, you know. It doesn't say that. It says, I will rebuke the devourer. Glory be to God. How many of you have had your fill of the devourer? Amen. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When he speaks his native tongue, and that's lies, okay? All he does is lie about you, tell you things that get you just to get... They just get you going, and they burn up your days. Then, when? Then? Yeah, okay. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor your vine in the field drop its grapes before harvest, says the Lord of hosts. I like it when the things I'm working on don't fall apart. Amen? Are you with me? I like it when I'm whatever I'm trying to do, whatever project I'm working on, whatever it is, whether it's for the church, for you, you know, for the community, whatever. I like it when stuff doesn't happen too soon, but just right on time. Amen? Are you with me? I hope you're with me. But that's a blessing I can count on. That's a blessing that I can receive, all right? Then I will rebuke the devourer. That should be enough right there. You know, hey, I want you to give 10% of your money. That's mine. Because if you don't give it, you're robbing me. So if I'm robbing God, I'm taking something that's his, right? And if I'm taking something that is his, then why do I think that he's going to bless me? Why do I think for a moment that I'm going to be in favor? Are you with me this morning? Are you following what I'm saying this morning? You see, this is Bible. Oh, it's Old Testament. Well, you should be glad for the Old Testament. Amen? It shows us who God is. Amen? And it talked about Jesus an awful lot. Amen. That was a good place to say amen. But then one of the greatest things about this whole thing. It says, all nations shall call you happy and blessed. Wow, people are going to look at you. There's going to be something different about you. Oh, come on, Pastor West. Just because I write a 10% check. Well, I didn't write it. All right? I didn't write it. All nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. I mean, glory be to God. People will look and see something different in you. What can they see? Oh, they see that you tithe. No. They see that you are wholly given over to God. Amen? That you're not one of those hypocritical Christians. Those two words don't even go together. And neither does spiritual Christian, because you can only be one way as a Christian, and that's sold out. Okay? Oh, come on. Amen? That's sold out. You have to give everything that you have. You have to be able to give him your days, your nights, your afternoons. You have to be willing to do whatever you can do for other people and understand and realize that in doing that, you will be blessed. And there's a part about it. In Malachi, it says we can test him in this. But there are things that we do in our lives where we don't let the left hand know what our right hand is doing, right? Right? In other words, we keep it quiet. We don't come to church, hey, you know what? Hey, Serena, you know what? I gave the guy out there that didn't have any, he was really ugly. I gave him $10. That's right. Gary, guess what? I gave somebody $10. You don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, okay? All right, maybe I should say $100. I'm Dutch, all right? I understand. But as I was sitting here this morning, as I was thinking about this finely honed message that I've got, and I was thinking that, you know, I'm going to preach what I've got prepared, and because I will never come to the pulpit not prepared. I'll never come to that pew on Sunday morning going, oh God, I wish you'd hurry up and give me a message. I'll have a message, you know, and I'll have it written down. But then the Holy Spirit said to me, you're going to interrupt Weston. And I said, what? You know? And he didn't say it again. Once was enough, okay? And then suddenly it came into my mind, what do the people need to hear? What is it? You know, I can preach a really finely honed message that's really good, and at least that I think is halfway decent. But what do the people need? What do the people need to hear? Well, then it became very apparent when he gave me the passage out of Corinthians. You know, the God loveth a cheerful giver. If you begin tithing, there will come a day when you'll write your tithe out and you'll just smile. Are you with me? You gave up a truck. People have given up all kinds of things to tithe, and then they've gotten them back 100-fold. I mean, you didn't make hardly any money. Now that you're tithing, what happened? You know? If you need to borrow money, he's the, no, I'm kidding. No. He's the man. Speaking of, no. The thing that I want you to understand is, you know, everybody always says, you know, the church wants your money. The church doesn't want your money. The church wants the blessing that extends to you by you giving, okay? Do we need your money? Well, yeah, I could lie, you know. I could lie about it. No, we don't need your money. Keep it, you know. But that's not true. You know, just nature, you know, common sense tells you that there has to be money flowing into the church for the things that it needs to spend money on, for which you didn't hire, but chose a board who makes sure that I don't spend in excess. Sort of like that. You see, there's one good thing. You got a Dutch pastor, and there's no such thing as spending in excess for me. But I want, you know, I every time I come to the platform, I want to give you a message that is both convicting and encouraging. Those of you who tithe already, you know, glory to God, glory to God. Those of you who haven't done it yet, then I can only encourage you, as the Bible does, to try it, okay? Test God in it. But don't test him once, okay? Don't test him one time. Be a right? Be a tither. Be someone who looks at that and takes that money off the top. You know, and you can say, but I bought this new car and I got to make this payment. You know what? Try it. And I don't want to put anybody in a poorhouse, but there's a supernatural thing that takes place when you give your money to the Lord. I don't know how many of you have experienced the supernatural. I've had it twice in healing, okay? Absolutely, positively. I've had it in many ways, but there's a supernatural thing that happens. You guys believe that God's supernatural, right? Okay, all right. There's a supernatural transfer, if you will, that takes place when you become an okay? Not just a tithe, but a tither, okay? Do I have to preach more? Because I like this. I'll hate it tomorrow, but I like it today, okay? Understand, just one thing I want to just want to make clear. Understand there is a difference between a giver and a tither, or God would have said, God loves a cheerful tither instead of a cheerful giver, okay? There's two, and boy, for sure, he loves it. I know he does because it says he does, all right? Tithing is a different story. Now you're going, I see why he stopped Weston before he took the offering. Yeah, I got it, you know. You're right. You are right. Why don't you come up, Weston, please, and we're going to take the offering, and we'll close with a song. And yeah, you're going to get out of here early today, but, you know, the day that I preach this message, don't count on it, all right? Because that thing is long. Okay. Amen. Amen? Amen. Amen.